Hey guys, how's it going? All right. We're going to Psalms today. We're going to Psalm 35. We're reading the last two verses, 27 and 28. But before we get cracking, we're going to go ahead and open in prayer. Our good, gracious Lord and Savior, we come to you this morning in your house of fellowship. We gather here and pour out our praise to you only and rejoice into God's salvation. We come here to fortify our minds and grow in faith as you renew our spirit and guide us throughout the week. I pray that you be with the ones that are not here today and bless them and give them strength and comfort throughout their week. And no matter what circumstance they're going through, just let there be healing poured out on them right now. Just let there be healing poured out, as well as the ones in this very room right now at this very moment. Like I said, bless them, be with them, guide them, and strengthen their hearts, renew our hearts, and transform our minds, and let your love and grace and glory just rain down on us in this room. Let us be drenched in your glory, and open our eyes, and give us the ears to hear, and open our hearts, Lord. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Since my previous sermon, I never really thought that I'd get to play a role in this rotation. I never really expected to get offered to preach on this day, January 7th. But after that abrupt moment that Adam asked me to preach, it kind of felt a bit ironic because I discovered that passage about 2 days before Adam came up and asked me to preach. On that day, I discovered that passage. The Lord was kind of calling me to go ahead and flip through the notes on my Bible app so I could go ahead and get inspired, you know, and have like the Holy Spirit work in my heart. And that was when I discovered Psalm 35. And I began to realize, oh, you know what? That'd be a good New Year's sermon topic. I could probably turn that into like a New Year's topic for a good sermon idea. You know, that'd be really good for me to do in the future. And sure enough, Adam comes up to me and asks me to preach just in time for the holiday season. I was thinking maybe we can apply the message from these verses throughout the rest of 2024. That'd be a good topic for the New Year. That's kind of amazing. That's kind of a God thing right there. Because I found that passage about a day or two before I was offered to preach, before I decided to preach out like a New Year passage right there. All right, let's go ahead and read Psalm 35, 27 and 28. Last two verses are going to be behind me on the screen. May those who delight in my vindication shout for joy and gladness. May they always say, the Lord be rejoiced, the Lord be exalted, who delights in the well-being of the servant. My tongue will proclaim your righteousness, and I will praise you all day long. May those always say, the Lord be exalted. My tongue will proclaim your righteousness, and I will praise you all day long. Now, here are a few words in this passage that I want to go over with you. In verse 27, David wrote, may they always say, the Lord be exalted. That's one word, exalted right there, that I want to go over with you. And in 28, he wrote, my tongue will proclaim your righteousness, and I will praise you all day long. Now, those are two words right there that I want to review with you. Let's go over exalt and praise. Now, to exalt means to hold someone or something in very high regard and think or speak highly of. So what David is meaning when he's writing, the Lord be exalted, when you say the Lord be exalted, you're saying you're lifting him up. You're lifting up his name. You're speaking highly of him. You're praising him. You're seeing him highly on the throne. You know, that is what it means to say the Lord be exalted. That is what David is trying to say. May they always say, the Lord be exalted. May they always lift up and speak highly of the Lord. And praise is calling attention to God's glory and is the joyful recounting of what God has done for us. So basically, praise means to thank God for who He is and for His many blessings and be appreciative for who He is. Am I right? C.S. Lewis, Christian apologist C.S. Lewis, quoted, "Praise is the mode of love which always has some element of joy in it." Praise is the mode of love which always has some element of joy in it. And by the way, a little side note here. Speaking of C.S. Lewis, did y'all know that C.S. Lewis was once an atheist before he became an apologist? Before he wrote the Narnia franchises, and before he wrote all the other books, and before he began preaching, he went to the ministry pipeline. He was a devout unbeliever who wrote a thesis that said, "There is no God, Jesus isn't real, don't choose religion, science is the answer." Yet he had an encounter with Jesus and ultimately transformed into one of the greatest Christian figures of all time. When I wrote him down in that sermon, I was like, man, I should have mentioned him in the first sermon that I did on Jonah and the Ninevites and stuff, if y'all remember that. I felt that I should go ahead and share that fact with you guys, because we just talked about this a couple months ago. I felt that'd be a cool idea to just share that little story about him, you know. Now, how often do we praise God on a regular basis? Do y'all know how much we praise Him on a regular, weekly, daily basis? We praise Him a lot more than we think. And sometimes, as crazy as it sounds, I think we even praise Him on a subconscious level. You know, I can't tell you how many times on a good day all of us would be like, "Oh, thank God, I got a pay raise today. Thank God, no kids today. Thank God, I got a day off. Praise the Lord." And what about like, "Thank God you're still here," or "Thank God you're okay," "Thank God you're feeling better," "Thank goodness you're doing okay." Those are good ones right there. And how often do we catch each other saying that form of praise? We say it a lot more than we think, huh? Yep. And here is a greater reason we should praise our Lord and Savior. This is probably the greatest reason right there, the most beautiful reason we should pour out our praise to the King of Kings. We normally praise Him for delivering us from doubt and fear by the grace and mercy of His precious Son, Jesus. Just like what we did a couple weeks ago on Christmas time. That is the greatest reason we should praise our Lord. That's a good reason right there. And what about praising God on a bad day? If you're having a bad day, it is incredibly difficult to praise the Lord. You're going through a time of great suffering, such as an extreme health crisis, or a traumatic loss, a divorce, a job loss, living in poverty. It is incredibly difficult to understand our Lord. It is incredibly difficult to praise Him and exalt Him and acknowledge that He is good. The enemy would want to whisper in our ear and tell us to turn our backs on Him. Yet we talked about this several times before. We talked about this over and over and over again. We should already know this. In the midst of chaos, God is still good. In every circumstance, every trial, every tribulation, the Lord is not destroying us. He is making us into who He wants us to be according to His plan, according to His purpose, according to His will. He makes all things work together for our future and for our good and for His glory and for His name. He is not a condemning God. He is a loving God. He is not a God of destruction. He is a God of compassion. In the midst of chaos, He fights for us and protects us and renews our spirit, enabling us to endure our trials and hardships. And that strengthens our faith right there. And this is why we should be doing what David is writing in this passage right here. All day, each and every day, is a good time to praise the Lord. The Lord deserves to be exalted and praised, no matter what circumstance you are in. That is the goal for 2024. Now, it's kind of hard for me to tell you this, but let me say this, let me tell you this. As we embark on the year 2024, you're going to suffer. You might go through some pretty tough stuff right there, right now. You might lose some people. You might get diagnosed with something. You might find yourself at a place far worse than you ever expected. 2024 very well could be the year your life will be changed forever. It's the truth right there. I'm not saying to speech all up. Now, throughout 2024, when you lose a loved one, when you lose a friend or a family member, praise the Lord. When you fall ill, when you get diagnosed with something, praise the Lord. When you face problems at work or at home, praise the Lord. Our faithful King deserves to be praised persistently, continuously, and extravagantly each and every single day. May we always say, the Lord be exalted. Even if it does look bad. No matter what day you're having in 2024. Now we have life from Him. Now He has saved us from the strongholds of sin and death and darkness. And all we have is a hallelujah. Our hope and our victory comes from Him. He's our strength and our firm foundation. His word is infallible and unfailing in purpose. And He's never going to let you down. He never will. Again, amen. Amen. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is what? Good. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Love that. Love that. Here's what Job said in chapter 1, verse 21. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked will I depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." May the name of the Lord be praised. That's amazing. That's beautiful. Because he said this, the wealthy spiritual man said this after he acknowledged that his wife and kids were all dead. And after he acknowledged that his physical health was horrifically deteriorating, and after he knew that he was going through a financial crisis, you know, yet he continued to say, "May the name of the Lord be praised." Now, we all would not want to get through any of those hardships. That would be a nightmare for all of us, to lose our loved ones, our kids especially, and spouses. Get diagnosed with one of the rarest and worst diseases in the world and lose your home, your land, your job. We would all want to walk away from the Lord. We would all want to deny Him, and we would all want to turn our backs on Him. Yet there was one man, that's Job right here, who did not. His faith grew stronger, and he received a great reward in heaven because he praised the Lord amid his sufferings and his temptations, his trials and tribulations. And we all know that not praising and acknowledging Jesus when your faith is tested is not a good thing. It's not okay. It's not good. When you don't praise the Lord in your sufferings, your situations will not get smaller, but your faith will, Your faith will get smaller if you do not praise the Lord. Your faith will. Yeah. Now, here's a little story time here. Here's another powerful testimony in relation to this. You guys know, in my sermons, I kind of like to add a short story, a brief testimony to set on a good example of what I'm trying to say to give you guys a better understanding right here. I always kind of like a story time when I tell a sermon, when I speak in front of crowds and stuff. Now, this is about somebody I knew from Valdosta. He grew up in Valdosta. He doesn't live here anymore. He lives in Athens now. He goes to UGA, and he's about to get his degree in a couple months. He's very well known. He's very popular. He went to Lowndes High School about 5 years ago. He graduated in 2019. He was the star athlete, the star soccer player. His dad was a coach, so that's why he's very well known. He's very intelligent. He was a bright young man. He graduated at the top of his class. He touched a vast number of his friends and acquaintances. The ones who met him were very touched, inspired by him. And they would say that Trey Davis is a very bright and special young man. He's gotten to be the kindest person you will ever meet. You know, what could go wrong with him? We kept asking that question until shortly after he graduated in 2019. It was the summer, June of 2019, when he went from initially fighting for his life at the bottom of a lake with no way out, seriously hurt. He knew he was going to die in the next few minutes, to winding up at Shands Hospital in Gainesville, Florida, with a broken neck, a severed spinal cord, totally, completely, 100% paralyzed from the neck down, unable to walk. Now, that is indeed a very scary situation to be in, especially for a parent. Yeah. Now, at first, the boy and his parents initially praised the Lord for saving their son from physical death, saying, "Thank you, Lord, for getting me out of that water, and thank you for saving my son's life. Thank God my son is still here. Thank you, Jesus." Now, as he embarked on his mission to recovery, Trey remained optimistic and confident and faithful and hopeful, knowing that it all was going to be okay, that it was all part of the Lord's plan. He continued to say, "It's a hard grind, but it will get better in Jesus' name. It's a long and tough road ahead, but it will get better in Jesus' name. It will all work together for the good." He knew that since the Lord saved him from sin and death, he sure can save him from a serious spinal cord injury, probably one of the worst spinal cord injuries you would ever hear of. Now, as he began to recover, Trey and his family and friends and even the other surrounding communities heavily supported him and praised the Lord as he regained and anticipated more movement and restored more function over time. They all praised the Lord because they knew it was going to work out for the good. And the Lord's evident, the Lord's glory became more evident. He came a whole lot closer. He knew it was all going to work out for the good. He praised and glorified the Lord because he knew it was all going to work out for the good. His situation got smaller as his faith grew larger and the Lord came closer. Yet he will continue to exalt and praise the Lord and Savior for that incredible story that has inspired so many lives, including mine. Because he is indeed a living and walking miracle. He is almost fully recovered. And he is walking, and you can't even tell he got in that stuff. You can't even tell that happened to him. As his praise went up, his walls came down. And that is a miracle that I, in fact, witnessed with my very own eyes, because Trey and I are, in fact, really good friends in real life. I actually talked to him yesterday about being in discernment, and he would really appreciate that more than anything else. I actually talked to him about a day before the incident happened, and I went and visited him about a month or two after he was discharged from the hospital. I went and visited him in person. I went up there and I saw that boy like walk, almost run up to me, and he flung both of his arms around me and gave me the biggest neck hug. How about that? He is indeed a hero of mine. He is a walking and living miracle. You can't love him enough. I sure wish I had that diagnosis when I was... I sure wish I had that attitude. I'm sorry. I got my words mixed up. I sure wish I had that attitude when I was first diagnosed with one of the rarest diseases in the whole world. I spent most of my Saturday afternoons having tens and dozens of seizures, crying my eyes out, feeling hopeless, thinking it all wouldn't get any better. That is not a good thing. Not a good thing. Now, we all have a reason to praise the Lord, and that is for who He is. That is because He is our precious and wonderful Savior who saved us from darkness and death and sin, the strongholds that crumbled and the chains that hit the ground. He's the God of salvation. He's our atonement, our redemption. He's our strength and our fortress. And through Him, we are all redeemed and cured by a very serious disease that we all carry. And that disease is sin. And this is why we should rejoice in Him. This is why we should praise Him. Because He is our precious Savior who saved us from sin. And He can save us from anything else. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is what? Good. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Now, let's hang tight here for another minute. I want to emphasize another passage with you guys after going through Psalm 35. If you want to turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, if y'all don't want to, there's no pressure. It's not a big deal. I just think it's a good representation of what we're talking about here. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 tells us, be joyful always. Pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always. Pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I need you. This means that we should have joy in our experience of salvation and hope of what God will do in the future. This is a perfect representation of Psalm 35 to me. I know it's kind of different to preach out, to hear out two different passages in one sermon, but it's the Lord's kind of calling me to do this. The Lord's kind of urging me to bring on the same subject with two different passages. Always say, the Lord be exalted. And always rejoice in the Lord, our Savior. Always praise Him, even in the midst of chaos. Kind of like verse 27, may those who delight in my vindication shout for joy and gladness. May they always say, the Lord be exalted. In Habakkuk, I don't know how that's pronounced still. The minor prophet wrote in 3:17 through 18, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Y'all know how bad that can be when our crops go bad, Arctic fields produce no food. We have no food. We have no cattle. It's not a good thing. We all know how bad of a situation that can be. Our farmers know that. My uncle knows that. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. This is important here. This is important. It's always extremely important when the Bible repeats a command. It is extremely important for us to apply to it when the Bible repeats a command. And this is one of them. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Matthew Henry once said, it is our duty and privilege to rejoice in God and rejoice in Him always, at all times, and in all circumstances. Always, at all times, and in all circumstances. Now, whether you're having a good day or a bad day, whether you're going through a pain of any sort of physical or mental or emotional pain, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord Almighty, because it produces steadfastness and endurance. Romans 5:3 says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials of any kind, for we know that they help us develop endurance. Now, for example, why would we rejoice in the Lord when we're diagnosed with something? We get really sick anywhere throughout the year 2024. How will we rejoice in? Why are we supposed to rejoice in the God of strength and salvation? If we get a flu, anywhere from a flu or a cold or to a very serious medical condition and winding up in the hospital, if your health fails, rejoice in the Lord. If you get diagnosed with something, rejoice in the Lord, knowing that everything will be okay. Just like what my friend Trey did. Rejoice in the Lord that everything will be okay, because Jesus is our healer. He healed us from the disease of sin. He sure can heal you from any other disease in this world. And what about losing people? If we lose people in the year 2024, how are we going to rejoice in that? How are we going to rejoice in the Lord when our loved one passes away? We all have lost people, including myself. You lost people. I lost people. A lot of people. Anywhere from a friend or an acquaintance to a family member, someone you even held closest to in your heart. And tragically, a lot of them were taken way too soon, far too young. A lot of them were taken very, very young. And that's what's tragic about it. But many of them, I know, are with Jesus. My heart rejoices that my loved ones who are in heaven are no longer in any pain. And where they are where they should be. Sin and cancer, anger, fear, worry, and temptation, they no longer exist according to them. They are perfect now in the arms of Jesus. And we should rejoice in that when our loved ones pass away. We should rejoice in that when we lose our loved ones. And it would be selfish to take them from heaven's beauty and bring them back into this deceitful world. 2024 may be the last year. Maybe the year you see your loved ones. In 2024, very well could be the last year your loved ones will see you. Not only that, not only will you lose your friends, but it very well could be you. Very well could be. Remember what I told you guys a couple months ago. when I last preached. I don't know how many of you were here. I don't know if you guys remember just this little thing I said before I preached, before I started my sermon. I said, even if you're having a bad day, still count it as a blessing. Still count it all joy. The Lord gave you life. The Lord lets you see another day. You woke up this morning. It is a miracle that you woke up this morning. It is a miracle that you woke up this morning, because most people don't ever. With this little time he gave, now it's the time to make the most of this life. Now it's the time to make the best of this life. With this little time you have left, what would you rather do? Would you count it as sorrow or joy? Would you take each day for granted and rebuke the Lord for pouring out destruction? Or would you rather rejoice in the God of strength, because he is our precious Savior with a plan for us that is far greater than we would ever expect? Sorrow or joy? You choose. All day, each and every day, it's a good time to praise the Lord and say, may the Lord be exalted. He always has the battle. He already won the biggest one by his love, grace, and mercy. God is good all the time, and indeed, all the time, God is good. So let's close in prayer, if you would. Oh, beautiful Savior, we come to you this morning. We lift up our own hallelujahs. We shout for joy. We pour out our praise to you only. We sing in the presence of our enemies, and we sing louder than the unbelief, because we know you are good all the time. And each day, no matter how bad it looks, every circumstance, every temptation, every trial, every tribulation, we know that you are still good. From morning to evening, morning, noontime, when the sun goes down, from the rising sun to the setting sun, let your name be praised. And may we always say, the Lord be exalted. Let your name be kept worthy. Let your name be kept righteous. Let it be kept holy. You are good from morning to evening. You're faithful through it all. You're worthy of it all. You're faithful to the end. In Jesus' name.